I'd like to start off by having you listen to a couple of sound bites that I have for you. So whenever you hear the sound bite, the first one, I'd like you to go ahead and just write at the top of your page, if you're taking notes, just what you think it is. So go ahead and do the first one. All right. So you got that one. So write it down. And then we have number two. All right. And write that one down. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands necessarily on who got those right, but the first one was a goat. And the second one was a sheep. So you can check each other out. You know, I see some people, everybody looking. Now, if my anecdotal evidence prior to giving the message is anything, any indication as to how well everybody else did, then it wouldn't be too good, because there were some that, when they heard these two sounds, they didn't get either one of them right. And there were some that got half right, but there was no one that got all of them right. But I guess if you do get 50%, that's still a passing grade in California anyway. So good job there. No, the point is, and again, is that as you heard these two, is that you notice the similarity between the two. As a father, you know, you have to give do sounds for your kids from time to time. And it's like, I was thinking about it the other day, and I'm going, well, I'm not real sure exactly how I would do a goat sound as to differentiate between a sheep sound. And again, you know, this demonstrates the fact that they do sound a lot alike. And also for, I guess, a lot of city folk, they actually look alike. I came across people who thought that goats and sheep looked alike. I know they're similar size and, you know, they may have similar color, but there are definitely differences. But if you ever have shorn a sheep, then, you know, you get them down without the wool on them, they do look a lot like a goat in many respects. But one of the most noticeable differences between a sheep and a goat is that they act differently. With the goat and the sheep, you have an individual versus a flock mentality. I grew up with a billy and a nanny goat, and as well as I spent some time on a couple of farms in Australia where they had sheep, and I got a chance to herd them and to shear them as well. And so, again, I'm pulling a little bit from some of the evidence that I have, and I would dare say that and from the things that I came across on the Internet anyway, it's pretty close to being the same around the world. Sheep are sheep and goats are goats. But goats, they have a tendency to want to wander around and to climb on things, and they are much more independent than sheep. Whereas the sheep typically stay with the group. Goats also will typically go up to anyone, whereas sheep won't. Goats are curious, they're inquisitive, and often they put their stomachs ahead of their brains. So they'll go up to a complete stranger and eat out of his hands, whereas the sheep, they have a tendency to stay put, and they'll only come to the owner or to someone that's familiar. Also, and lastly, they have an attitude difference. If you've ever had a goat or have ever been around goats, you don't turn your back on them, because I've walked up to them and they go to try to butt you, much less when you turn your back. They'll come charging at you a lot of times. And this is what, I mean, to me it seemed like it was no reason, because some days they wouldn't do it and other days they would. Whereas, of course, the sheep tend to be more docile and they keep their distance. So it's not my intention today to draw a lot of spiritual parallels to all the things that we just went through. But just to say this, that sheep and goat, they sound a lot alike. They even look a lot alike. But they don't act alike. With that, I'd like to turn to Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, and go over the parable of the sheep and goats. The parable of the sheep and goats in Matthew 25. This, as scriptures, addresses a time beginning with the return of Christ. And it it describes an ongoing process throughout the rest of the millennium, leading all the way up to the Great White Throne Judgment. So, again, we'll find that this applies to both us as well as those that will be in the millennium, the world tomorrow. Beginning in verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." So again, we're looking at a sorting out that will be done by Christ. And then in verse 33, "And he will set the sheep on his right hand," which is the side of honor, "and the goats," but the goats on the left, which would again then be the side of dishonor. Verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed,'" that's the sheep, "'of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" And then the righteous, again, that's the sheep, will answer him saying, and then they go on to say, "When did we do all these things?" And then skipping down to verse 40, "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me.'" So Christ took these acts of love, toward others as though they were literally done to him, and vice versa. As we continue in verses 41 through 44, again, the king asks the goats why they didn't do the same things to him. And again, they say, "Well, when did we not do these things?" And then in verse 45, he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you didn't do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." In John 10, it talks a little bit more about the differences between this difference between a sheep and a goat. In John 10, we'll read verse 14 and then skip down and read 26 through 28. In John 10, in verse 14, we have Christ speaking, and he says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." So the sheep know him as well. And then in verse 26, "But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So what he's saying here is that those who follow God's word and believe will be counted as sheep. Now back to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, the whole chapter, again, is three parables. And there are some parallels within these parables. We have the parable of the virgins, the talents, and the sheep and goats. In the parable of the virgins, you have five that make it, and then five that don't, five that aren't ready. In the parable of the talents, you have five, the one that was given five and the one that was given two did well, but the one who buried his talent did not. And then you have the sheep and goats, which we just went through, where the sheep make it, but the goats don't. So the common theme, though, in this chapter, among those that didn't make it, is that while they were considered to be Christians, they were considered to be church members, they had God's Holy Spirit, it was that they had not acted properly with what they had been given. And subsequently, they didn't make it. Now, I'd like to read for you. At the end of each parable, there is a summation of what happens to the good and what happens to the ones that didn't act properly. So in Matthew 25, verses 12, 30, and 46, let me just read them in succession to you and just listen to what the end is of those who did not do with what they had. "But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.' And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and these will go away into everlasting punishment. Again, these are Christ's words, and this is the way he sums up those who did not follow through on the gift that they had been given. Now note what the words are that Christ says to the ones who did follow through and acted on what they knew. And again, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to read verses 10, 21, and 34 in succession. And it says, those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So going back, brethren, to where we started and what we learned at the very beginning about sheep and goats and applying it today, there are many that are within the greater church of God that sound like a church member. They sound like a Christian. They say things about the holy days. They say things about the Sabbath. They can quote you the clean and unclean meats. There are many within the greater church of God that look like a church member. They look like a Christian. But the only ones that act like Christians are going to be in the first resurrection. So it's only those that will be able to meet with Christ when he comes down. But brethren, of all the church members that are out there right now, there is one that we mainly should be concerned with, and that is ourself. And as time grows short, there is no better time than now. As we've been watching world events, we watch prophecy unfold before our eyes and come to fruition. We're talking about it in the updates. We talked about it in announcements last week, and no doubt we'll talk about it during announcements this week. The return of Christ is imminent. Brethren, as we approach this Passover season, let's remember that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ eventually, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Brethren, the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God.